the OJs talking about that message in the music. I tell you what, we definitely have a message. As Dr. Albert and I are discussing politics on the international, national levels. Dr. Albert, one of the things you were pointing out, this isn't over. We got right now, the policy says, as you mentioned, 20 days. But we're also hearing that it could easily be the end of the year before some, a small portion of the percentage of the children who have been torn away from their parents are reunited with them. What are some of the complexities of reuniting these families?
Often the children, depending on how old they are, don't know their parents' full names. They don't know their parents' phone numbers. Parents don't have their phones anymore. Immigration officials, either through negligence or incompetence or hurriedness, don't get all the information right when they're taking people in. And so when they're separated, they literally, both parents and children, can get lost in the system, unfortunately. This is a huge, huge problem. This is an easier problem to solve if you are seeking asylum status when you come in. So there's several layers of this. If you're seeking asylum, and I don't think the media is reporting on this very accurately as well either for some reason. If you're seeking asylum, you come in and report to the immigration official on the other side. So you turn yourself in. You go in and turn yourself in. Mm-hmm. Trump is still considering that. President Trump is still considering that a crime because you still came in illegally. The other way to handle that is to seek refugee status on the other side of the border, which then you can't be prosecuted for because you're not getting into the country until you request and get approved for refugee status. Mm-hmm. So Trump is saying you should do that. But if you come into the country as an asylum seeker, you are more records are taken of you. You feel generally safer that, you know, you're going to be reunited. And the way it's supposed to happen is you're only supposed to be detained, even as an adult, until your asylum trial, your asylum hearing. Mm-hmm. And I think the purpose behind the decision of the 20 days for the children to be detained with their family is that your trial should be held in less than 20 days. You should be get in and out, and we should determine if you're going to have asylum or not. I hope that's some of the reasoning behind that. It should be fairly quick.
Mm-hmm.
What the media isn't telling you, and I'm not sure, is how many of these children and how many of these immigrants that have been detained are just illegal immigrants that have been caught just swimming across, not seeking an asylum, just trying to sneak in and not report to the officials. This is a harder and more complex set of individuals to account for, often because if let's say the children are caught, but the parents aren't, the parents might not want to come and claim their children because then they have to then turn themselves in as an illegal immigrant, not seeking asylum, but just sneaking into the country, which is a criminal offense, which means you're not going to get asylum, which means you just go to jail. You're going to be separated from your children anyways at that point. So sometimes the system in and of itself, I'm not making a judgment call whether it's right or wrong, discourages record keeping, discourages contact between children and the parents, because neither side wants to get the other side in trouble if it's an issue of just illegal immigration. Maybe you're trying to sneak in. I mean, I'm sure most people are trying to sneak in for economic rights, for political rights, for some issue to make their life better. But the immigration system is in such a mess and has been for decades under multiple administrations, Republican and Democrat, you're going to get lost in the system because of how many loopholes and inconsistencies and criminal offenses that exist in the system in and of itself. So that's what makes it so complicated for these people to be reunited. Secondly, there's no like system of where a child is sent to in a children's facility to be detained. Some are sent right from, you know, El Paso, Texas to New York. Some are sent to California. Some are sent to, I mean, multiple, you know, there are 100 children facilities nationwide where these children go. Not always are proper records kept. Parents might not know which one of those facilities they went to. How do they identify these individuals? What if they have the same types of names? You know, how many Robert Smiths are there mm-hmm. in America? You know, same type of thing coming from other countries. Like, how many of these types of names? So what's the chances that you have perfect record keeping? That's the issue here. Just like our healthcare system, I would argue, was broken before President Obama, I would also argue it is still very much broken today. Our immigration system is completely broken. The entire system is broken. That hurts everybody involved with this. It hurts the children. It hurts the parents. It hurts American citizens as well. So to make a law is complicated. That's going to fix all of this. Both sides are going to lose political capital with some group of American population if they make a law. And how do you make a comprehensive law dealing with this severity of an issue that pleases everybody, has some type of humanity or morality in it, that also pleases the international community as well as the domestic community, as well as the policymakers that think this is the right thing to do policy-wise? It's a terrible process for politicians and policymakers to come up with something to satisfy and to be moral in some understanding of morality, or let's say, I don't want to use morality because we just talked about that, but, you know, is legitimate, mm-hmm. you know, some type of legitimate policy that is made on well-intended policy grounds. This is tough. I think we as Americans tend to be too harsh on all of our politicians, whether we're Republicans or we're Democrats or we're independents or we're libertarians or we're socialists or anything. We tend to be too hard. There's a reason most presidents go gray in that first 100 days. And there's a reason most politicians are grumpy at times at news conferences. The weight of what they're doing is terrible. Never mind if we talk about, you know, morality or altruism or being nice. Man, we sure don't apply that to politicians. These individuals have families. They're worried about making their ends meet. They're worried about their families. They want to be good moms and dads and spouses and, you know, grandparents or grandchildren in instances. Like, they have their own personal lives as well. They're not just these politicians. So you think they have to worry about immigration, they have to worry about terrorism, they have to worry about healthcare, they have to worry about their constituents, they have to worry about international constituents, they have to worry about their sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and parents. Like, let's be more compassionate towards all of these individuals. Let's be more compassionate and give the benefit of the doubt to our politicians, as well as being more compassionate and loving to our neighbors.
You know, one of the things that I'd like for us to look into a few minutes when we get back is something that you mentioned earlier. You were talking about the length of time that a person could be awaiting an asylum hearing before they can finally get these family issues resolved, their status resolved as to whether or not they're going to be citizens, etc. And one of the problems that we hear about is that, again, when the Republicans were controlling Congress, when the Democrats were controlling Congress, for years and years and years, the immigration system has remained woefully underfunded. Can we talk about that a few minutes when we come back?
Absolutely.
Our guest, Dr. Craig Albert, and I'll be right back. From this means of communication.